live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into the hottest sports show here in mid-Michigan. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin, right here live and in full effect on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I really hope you guys are having a great one out there. It is Tuesday, December 19, 2017, just 6 days away from my favorite time of the year. That's right, Christmas Day is right around the corner. We've got a pretty festive hour of Current Sports heading right your way. A ton to get to as both Ian Hawley, engineer of Current Sports, along with myself, we were both at the Breslin Center for, I would say about, what would you say, Ian, about 6 hours yesterday?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there, about from like 6 to 12, as we covered the doubleheader slate of Michigan State hoop action as both the Michigan State men's and women's teams were both in action. Michigan State men taking on Houston Baptist in the first game at 6 p.m. This one was not even close, but I will say this. This may have been the angriest that I have seen head coach Tom Izzo so far this year. I mean, Michigan State has now played, 12 games. There's been a few moments of play that have gotten them angry. We've noted that throughout the year so far, and there will be plenty more, trust me. But looking at the 12 games that Michigan State has played this year, this by far was the angriest that I have seen him pertaining to the play of Michigan State basketball. Of course, the other moment was when, you know, Tom Izzo was mad at media members for the whole Nick Ward benching situation at Rutgers. So we'll have plenty of coverage pertaining to the Michigan State men's basketball win over Houston Baptist, and the Michigan State women's basketball team also were in action for the late slate at 9 p.m. against Quinnipiac. And that wasn't a close one either. Michigan State kind of cruised into that one, and we'll have brief thoughts on that game as well. We'll also talk about the Detroit Lions playoff pitcher, which did take a hit, seeing as though the Atlanta Falcons ended up beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night on primetime television's Monday Night Football. Those playoff chances have now taken a hit, and I will sort of break down what needs to happen in order for your Honolulu Blue football fearsome to make the NFL playoffs. Don't miss that. Also, we'll have an update on the whole Thomas Kipier situation as it relates to the Michigan High School Athletic Association, the MHSAA, saying, nope, Thomas, you can't play. This transfer from Macomb, Dakota to Clarkston was athletically motivated. Well, Kipier's family is striking back. And we'll also talk about the shift of programming as it pertains to the worldwide leader, ESPN. That and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the show, multiple ways in which you can do so. Simply go to facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running. Many of you are already commenting below the video. You can also even tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. And, of course, call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, the Michigan State men's basketball team hit nearly 65% of its field goals. And sophomore guard forward Miles Bridges tied his career high with 33 points as the Spartans cruised to a 107-62 win over Houston Baptist at the Breslin Center last night. Michigan State ranked number 2 in the Associated Press and USA Today Top 25 Coaches polls, improved to now 11-1 overall, with its 10th straight win. It is the longest win streak for the Spartans since opening the 2015-16 campaign with 13 straight dubs. Michigan State plays its final game before a break for the Christmas holiday on Thursday, December 2-1, hosting Long Beach State. Tip-off at the Breslin Center for that one is slated for 7 p.m. How about the Michigan State women's basketball team, as redshirt sophomore guard Shay Colley led all scorers with 14 points as Susie Merchant's team topped Quinnipiac 74-55. Last night at the Breslin in the doubleheader, the final game of the doubleheader. Three Spartans scored in double digits, led by Colley's 14 points. Senior guard and forward Lexi Gussard and junior forward Jenna Allen both added 10 points. Redshirt sophomore forward Victoria Gaines added a team-high 10 rebounds as MSU out-rebounded the Bobcats 50-32. MSU now hits the road for its final non-conference games of the season at the New Orleans Shootout, December 21st and the 22nd. The Spartans will take on South Florida on the 21st at 8:30 p.m. and will conclude the tournament against Mississippi Valley State on the 22nd at 6 p.m. Ineligible high school basketball star Thomas Kithier and his family have hired two attorneys who are planning to file a lawsuit against the Michigan High School Athletic Association over its controversial transfer ruling. Kithier, he transferred from Macomb, Dakota to Clarkston for his senior season, but Dakota refused to sign off on the transfer, claiming the move was athletically motivated. Now, the MHSAA agreed with that notion, and an appeal was actually upheld, benching Kithier for the entire season. Kithier will play, of course, next season for Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. As you guys know, our dedicated listeners, last week we had on Jeff Kimmerly, a part of the MHSAA, so sort of like broke down this whole move, how it happened, why the ruling took place. If you missed that chat, it will clarify a lot of things concerning the ineligibility of Thomas Kithier. Just simply go to WKAR.org and check out that interview. All right, Fort Wayne. Yeah, the Fort Wayne Mastodons stunned Indiana, if you remember last season, Tom Crean's last in Bloomington, in what was chalked up as really just a fluky road loss for the Hoosiers. Before the shocker, IU was unbeaten. And get this, they had knocked off a solid Kansas team, if you remember, in overtime to begin the year and looked really primed to really make a lot of noise come postseason. Well, lightning has just struck twice. I kid you not. John Kaufman's team this time had other plans on Indiana's home floor, completing a stunner for the second year in a row. This one in convincing fashion. 92-72 was the final last night. Not even close. A 20-point blowout by Fort Wayne over IU. The Mastodons forced 18 turnovers, hit 17 of their 30 three-point attempts, and made 51.7% of their field goals. With the loss, Indiana now moves to 6-6 on the season. Other Big Ten basketball to look forward to tonight. The Citadel would take on Ohio State. Binghamton would take on Penn State. Lewis will play Northwestern, and Southern Utah will take on Iowa. All right, three-star wide receiver Ronnie Bell issued his verbal commitment to Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan college football coaching staff yesterday. He made the announcement via Twitter. The decision was first reported by 247 Sports Bryce March. The 6'1", 170-pound Bell hails from Park Hill High School in Kansas City, Missouri, where he was largely a basketball recruit. He decommitted from Missouri State on Thursday. He is the 18th player to pledge their commitment to U of M for 2018. It's unclear at this point whether Bell will sign this week or wait until National Signing Day in February. All right, wide receiver Van Jefferson. He is headed to the Sunshine State of Florida. After taking official visits earlier this month to Michigan and Louisville, he has committed to Florida. The 6'2", 195-pound Jefferson announced his decision on Monday night via Twitter. That's how we make official announcements nowadays. 4 days after a former teammate and Ole Miss safety Deontay Anderson reopened his recruitment, Jefferson joined Anderson and quarterback Shea Patterson on an official visit to Ann Arbor on December 9th. Of course, you guys know the scene of all three of those players sitting in the stands watching the University of Michigan take on the UCLA Bruins on the hardwood at Chrysler Center. Now, Patterson, a five-star recruit out of high school, followed up 2 days later with a verbal commitment to Michigan that has sent the entire city into jubilation. All right. Anderson reportedly did not receive transcript clearance from Michigan. Interesting stuff there. All right. After a gutsy 4-3 OT win over the LA Kings on Saturday, the New York Islanders continue their five-game homestand against the Detroit Red Wings tonight at 7 p.m. The Winged Wheel. They are on the outside of the Eastern Conference playoff picture, but are looking to grind their way back with points in three straight games, 1-0-2. Most recently, the Wings scored a 3-1 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs, but are 2-4-4 in their last 10 games. As for the Islanders-Red Wings matchup, Detroit won 4 of the last 6 meetings between the clubs, taking 2 of 3 in each of the past 2 seasons. The Detroit Lions still have a path to the postseason heading into Week 16, but it's longer and more complicated than ever. You really need to have, I believe, like a notebook to jot down the different scenarios that will possibly put in the Honolulu Blue into the playoffs. And that's exactly what I have done. I'll get to that, to my notebook at least, later on this hour to sort of break down and try and make sense of what you should be looking at as we now wind down the final 2 weeks of the NFL regular season in hopes of your Lions making the playoffs. Now, you look at the Lions, they've won 2 straight games, but Carolina, the 5th seed, won its 6th game in 7 weeks over the weekend. And Atlanta, the 6th seed, beat Tampa 24-21 last night for its 5th win in 6 weeks. So the Lions haven't made up any ground at all, really, on the playoff field. And with just 2 weeks left to do so, their playoff chances have fallen to, get this, 14%. According to 538.com, they've done the math, all right? 14% chance for the Lions to make the playoffs. Now, to make the postseason, the Lions must sweep their remaining games against the Cincinnati Bengals and the Green Bay Packers, which I would assume will be without Aaron Rodgers for that game, because also with the Falcons' win, the Green Bay Packers statistically have been eliminated from the NFL playoff picture. And I see one of our dedicated listeners, Ryan Walker, is watching our Facebook live stream. Ian, Ryan is the biggest Green Bay Packers fan I have ever met in my life. So I know he's a bit salty about that, okay? And to close out things, Ian, did you see the Kobe Bryant retirement jersey celebration from last night? What'd you think of it?
I liked it. I think they did Kobe Bryant right. I don't know if Kobe Bryant necessarily did them right all the time.
Why do you say that? I think he was pretty loyal. I mean, it's been, 20 years with one franchise? Just something you just don't see.
Yeah,
you
know, he was loyal, but he wasn't a very good teammate sometimes, especially towards the end of his career.
Number eight. I would say the opposite. I think number eight wasn't the best teammate. I mean, the whole feud with Shaquille O'Neal. But I think as he matured, he slapped the number 24 on the back of his jersey, I think he became a better teammate. I would argue the opposite. But I hear where you're going, though. Number eight was not the kindest guy, all right? Let's just put it that way. But nonetheless, I mean, Kobe Bean Bryant is one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and he had his numbers, yes, plural, retired at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. Yeah, Kobe Bean Bryant had both the number 8 and 24 hung to the rafters, solidifying his spot as one of the best to ever rock the purple and gold for the LA Lakers. Now, the ceremony took place at halftime of the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors game, along with Bryant's 33,643 points, the 5-time NBA champion, and 18-time All-Star. He also leads the Lakers in games played at 1,346, three-pointers made at 1,827, steals at 1,944, and free throws, 8,378. What a career for Kobe Bryant, right? Bryant is the third leading scorer in league history. Well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, our Facebook live stream is up and running at facebook.com/currentsports, or tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle. If you don't want to tweet me, at least follow me. All right, trying to get my followers up. Also tweet the show directly at WKAR_sports.
Championship possibility team. Not if it's an effort related things, I can't. I can understand why you can't shoot the ball well every night. I can even understand why you miss free throws. I can't understand why you wouldn't cut anybody out. So, no, 150 times, no. I cannot understand what guys would do working their butt off, which this team worked as hard as any team I've ever had, morning, noon, and night. All summer long. And then you get 30 chances to let that stuff shine that you worked on. And you're going to go out there and let a team just run by you, run by you, run by you? No. 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 I'm not expecting us to score 107 points. I'm not expecting us to shoot 65%. I'm not expecting a lot of things. Let's reverse this press conference. Does anybody think that our turnovers have been forced or unforced? Graham? Mix of both. That's why you're a reporter, not a coach. Okay? Larry, you're always thinking you're coaching, and I'm not pressing, so what do you think? Yeah, mostly unforced. I mean, seriously, I mean, do you think I'm picking on that? I mean, I think my wife could figure that one out. No insult to no one. She's just not into coaching. For very long,
baby, oh man, I wish I could sing like that. Shout out to Drew Hill. Shout out to Cisco, man. One of my favorite Christmas songs there. Favorite time of the year. Happy holidays to you and yours. Again, it is December 19th, and you have exactly 6 days left of shopping. Good luck to you. Intermixed with this fantastic joint is the voice of head coach Tom Izzo of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Tom Izzo, not a happy man. As I stated at the top of the hour, this was probably the angriest that I have seen Coach Izzo throughout the 12 games that Michigan State has played this year. He was not happy when it came to numerous areas. And I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking, okay? You look at a final of 107-62, and you sit there and you scratch your head and say, what in the world, what in the blue moon is Tom Izzo unhappy about when you have a score like that? Well, and you know, the thought crossed my mind, the same thought that I'm about to reiterate here crossed my mind when I was watching Kobe Bryant during his speech at halftime of the Warriors and Lakers game, as Kobe Bryant, as I noted, had both his numbers that he played with the purple and gold, number 24 and number 8, retired to the rafters. And he talked about working hard and excellence and staying up late and waking up early. And Magic Johnson, Lansing's own Magic Johnson, who's now the head man in charge there in L.A., Magic gave a speech in which he introduced Kobe. And, you know, he turned to Jerry West and said, Jerry, I didn't know what to think when you said, when you called me up and said, Magic, I have seen the best workout I've ever seen in my life. And that's when Jerry was kind of scouting Kobe coming out of, you know, Lower Merion High School. And he saw Kobe working out and his jaw hit the floor. Greatness sees the game through a different lens than you do, than I do, than anyone else does. And that is something I have always been inspired by in covering Tom Izzo, who, of course, just got enshrined into the Basketball Hall of Fame last year. There's levels to this, as the great poet Drake would say, right? There's levels to this thing. Some are going to be good at what they do. Some are going to be average, while others are going to be exceptional. The best at what they do. And what separates those levels comes down to work ethic and dedication. Hours upon hours of trying to perfect your craft. Because, again, you just don't want to be good. Those like Tom Izzo don't just want to be good at what they do. They are trying to come as close to the word perfection that they can. Again, we may look at a 107-62 win and say Michigan State handled business. They looked absolutely fantastic. You can look at the multiple milestones that were hit by the number two team in America in Michigan State last night. Michigan State, 16 block shots, eclipsing the previous mark of 13 set both at Rutgers earlier this month and on December 19th, 2007 against San Jose State. A milestone, 16 block shots. You can look at Miles Bridges, who, you know, yesterday in previewing last night's game against Houston Baptist, you know, I said, okay, Miles has kind of gotten, I use the phrase, lost in the sauce, catering to his teammates because he knows how good this team is. He knows how deep this team is. But, you know, he's forgetting how good he is at times. Well, that wasn't the case last night. Miles Bridges, a career high, 33 points, 11 for 14 shooting. And actually, according to ESPN stats, the sophomore became the third Spartan in the past 20 years with 30 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 assists in one game. Who are the two other players that did that? Mateen Cleaves and Denzel Valentine. Very impressive performance from Miles Bridges, right? That's how we look at this. First time Michigan State hit the triple-digit point mark, 100-point mark, since getting that against Mississippi Valley State back in 2016, November 18th against Mississippi Valley State. And the Spartans' most points since scoring 111 against Nebraska Omaha back in 2011. We sit there and say, wow, pretty impressive. Now, again, they're playing Houston Baptist, but still, pretty impressive. Do you know what Izzo had to say concerning all of that? Izzo calls that, quote, analytic BS, end quote. That's a direct quote from yesterday's press conference. Analytic BS. And you know what Izzo began to do in that press conference? Well, as you heard, Izzo does this from time to time. And that's why, you know, he talks about holding people accountable. He holds us media members accountable as well. And from time to time, Izzo will flip the script in the press conference. And it'll go from us asking Tom Izzo questions to Izzo becoming the interviewer. And he did that multiple times. I mean, Graham Couch, Lansing State Journal. What do you think about our turnovers? Were they unforced or were they forced? Well, what do you think? Larry Lage of the Associated Press. Larry, what do you think? Were the turnovers forced or unforced? Well, what do you think? What do you think? He does that. I love that. You know, Izzo is as real as it gets. You know, in a world filled with, you know, especially in the sports world, and in a world filled with so many muzzles and so many politically correct answers because you don't want to rock the boat because so many people are so sensitive out there, Izzo does not give a crap. He is going to tell it like it is and keep it 100 all the time. I love that. But you know what Izzo began to do? You know, he was so frustrated because he's looking at the details of the game. He dissected the sloppy start from Michigan State. Michigan State committing 4 of its 14 turnovers on the first 6 possessions. He brought that up. He harped on the 24 offensive rebounds, something that has been a problem, especially at the beginning of the year, for this Michigan State men's basketball team. Also, I don't know what's going on here when it comes to Michigan State fouling opponents beyond the arc. I mean, we saw it happen 3 times against OU, against Oakland at Little Caesars Arena on Saturday. But Michigan State right now has a bit of a problem making sure they don't foul when contesting 3-point shots because they did it 3 times against OU. And then we saw it happen 2 more times last night against Houston Baptist. He is looking at the details. And probably what is my favorite quote probably from last night? You know, he harped on the difference between winning games and playing to win games and playing to win championships. And he is holding this team in such high regard because Izzo knows the pressure that this program is under right now. He knows the spotlight that is on this program right now. And I believe that you Spartan fans know just how good this team can be. And I believe that many of you Spartan fans would agree with me when I say that this is the most talented roster that Tom Izzo has ever had here at Michigan State University. And if he does not get that second national championship this year, I really don't know when or if he's ever going to get it. So, Izzo was asked the question. And I know I'm going out of order here, Ian. I'm putting you on the spot here. I'm going out of order, but I want to talk. I want to bring up a bite here. We're gonna kind of harp on, you know, the unforced turnovers real quick here because I thought he gave a really telling answer when talking about the turnovers. Here's Tom Izzo talking about the unforced turnovers. Check it out.
Spanish basketball, Russian basketball, Chinese basketball, French basketball, and American basketball. I think we lead the world in unforced turnovers. Come down, throw the ball, first play of the game right into a guy's arms. And those things are just, you know, they're not something that we can take lightly anymore because they're happening on a regular basis. That's the way we started out the Oakland game. So somebody's not getting the message. So it's going to be tonight was a second time and out rule. Next time it's going to be a first time and out rule. If people are playing scared, good. They should be.
Tom Izzo on the turnovers. If people are playing scared, good. He wants players to have a head on the swivel out there. But taking care of the basketball. I mean, Cassius Winston. I mean, look at Cassius. You look at Cassius, his stat line. 10 points, 3 rebounds, 12 assists. Very impressive, right? 12 assists to go along with 10 points. But you know what? He had 4 turnovers. And Cassius has had a turnover problem dating back to the last game and dating back to a few times this season. You look at what happened on Saturday against OU. Oakland, able to sit in that 2-3 zone, and we saw Cassius Winston constantly just not make good decisions with the basketball. Here is Cassius Winston on the turnover problems for this team.
I mean, just don't turn the ball over as much, you know what I'm saying? It's really result-based, you know what I'm saying? If you turn the ball over, then you got to be punished for that. So that's one of the things that we just can't tolerate as a team, or they can't tolerate as coaches, you know, turning the ball over. So.
Tom talked about the difference between having a championship mentality with Cassius and that, and comparing that to not just going out there and going through the motions of winning games.
Mm-hmm.
What did he emphasize throughout this game? I know he wasn't happy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He knows what it takes to win it, and win at that level. And a lot of guys on his team, we don't. You know, we didn't have it last year. We just won games. You know what I'm saying? We won 20 games. That was especially for this program. That's just that's a good season. That's an okay season. You know, you throw that one away to be the team that Michigan State's used to and what we think we are capable of. You know, nights like these are the nights that we got to focus in. We got to get better. We can't just look at the team's jersey or look who we're playing. We're going out there. We got to prove something. We got to prove something every night. And tonight we didn't make a statement.
Cash, when you look back, can you, at some of your film, can you put your finger on some of the casual turnovers? I know you had that over in the back.
Yeah, definitely stuff like that is just unacceptable, you know, just dribbling off my foot, or the first game I kind of just not enough intensity or, into my things, and when I play with intensity or aggression, things like that, then, my turnovers go down, so I just got to come into the game with that mindset.
The players know. The players know, folks. Again, Cassius Winston on his turnover problems that he's had in recent games. This isn't anything new. Okay? And they clearly know what they have to correct, because it's the little things like turnovers that aren't really little, to be honest with you. It's those kind of things that will lose you games against better competition. I mean, again, Houston Baptist. And that's the thing. When looking at a Houston Baptist game, you have to look at and view and break down the game with a different lens, because this isn't your normal Big Ten competition, okay? Jaren Jackson Jr., he went back to his old ways. Jaren got into early foul trouble, but I will say, I mean, after 6 seconds into the second half, him picking up his 4th personal foul, it is an absolute miracle that Jaren Jackson Jr. did not foul out of this game. And I tell you what, Izzo just kept him in. He said, hey, if you pick up that 5th one, hey, whatever. We need to work on this. All right? But Jaren Jackson knows that he needs to work on not getting into early foul trouble, because he is one of the most dynamic players on this roster, and Michigan State is so much better when he is on the basketball court. Here is Jaren Jackson on his early foul trouble bugaboos.
I knew that he was going to keep me out there until I fouled. I knew that, so I just didn't want to. It sucks not playing, so. When you sit out that line for that long in the first half, you just want to bounce back and try to not pick up that 5th.
You still play aggressively. I mean, you're on the 4th.
I mean, I can't. Like, it's just in my nature to just – I have to get blocks. I have to do little things. Otherwise, there's no business to me being out there, because if you're going to put somebody out there just to stand there, then I'm a liability. So I just kept playing as hard as I could, and then eventually I got hit with that 5th. It was going to happen eventually.
You can't. I mean, I know you can't change your nature, but do you dial back at all with 4 fouls?
No. Because, I mean, if you look at the 4 fouls, 3 were – 1 was awful. I shouldn't have done that. 1 was offensive. Another one was a screen. Another one was a something else. So – my fouls aren't coming from, like, me rim protecting. Like, I can avoid contact and still protect the basket. It's just the other things. So it really doesn't change my game too much as far as that, because I can still block it.
All right, I got two more snippets I want to get to before we bring on our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Sean Crowdy, Director of Community Recreation for the City of Flint, a pretty cool press conference that will be taking place to announce something very cool coming to the city. Before I do that and before we hit this first break, I want to play just two more snippets out of everything that Tom Izzo harped on after that game in the press conference. There was, I guess, one shining light that he did acknowledge. Nick Ward had a solid game. 9 for 9 from the floor, 20 points, 6 rebounds. Also had 4 of the 16 blocked shots that Michigan State accrued last night. Here's Tom Izzo addressing the play of Nick Ward.
My star by far was Nick Ward. Communicated. He stepped up on ball screens. He guarded smaller guys. He scored in the post. He ran the lane. His communication was off the charts. By far the best player on the court for us. Miles had a good night offensively. I thought Josh played, you know, pretty well too. But this turnover thing is reality now. And, you know, it hasn't changed from last year. And there's only one guy that's at blame, and that's me. So we're going to fix it in the next couple of days somehow. If, you know, no more rules on how much time you can practice, just when you can practice. No more rules on how much time you can watch film, just can't watch it till 6 in the morning. There's no more of these great rules. So now it's time to hold some people accountable to what they got to do. And so I'm not very happy, not very pleased. Please don't take that as insulting to Houston Baptist because they didn't have their whole team. In fact, I would take it just the opposite. Yeah, we won by 30, 40 points. But as far as heart and courage and toughness, they played with it and we didn't.
And one final snippet. If you did not know, Tom Izzo has the memory of an elephant.
I thought you were going to give me an excuse because it was one day rest. Are you kind of doing that, or what are you hitting on? What is your question? Give me the question again. Just say it. Are we not working hard enough to get them ready to play? It's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, they did. They really did. They worked their tail off yesterday. They really did. The one day prep is hard. It's hard, and it's hard to prepare for a big guy, and all of a sudden he's not playing, and we're playing against bunch of small athletic guys. We got 6'9 guys guarding 6'2 guys. Yeah, hard. You know, remember, for me, Middle Tennessee was a bunch of small guys. You know, you guys may forget, players may forget. I got a memory like a freaking elephant. I don't forget. So I'm not gonna forget. And I'm out there driving harder. So everybody, you guys will get a lot of things to talk about.
I guess that's a good thing for a radio host like me, right? All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will get to our guest for today's Current Sports. His name is Sean Crowdy, Director of Community Recreation for the City of Flint. A pretty cool announcement happening on later on this afternoon out in the city of Flint. We'll get to that and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am excited to welcome this brother to the air of Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Because, you know, I think it's so important, especially in 2017. You know, I believe that, you know, nowadays in modern times, kids need to get out and get active now more than ever because there's so much noise, so much distraction, especially when it comes to those little things we hold on to our bodies all day and all night, smartphones, all right? Now, Flint City officials are pleased to announce the start of a new citywide basketball league for local youth. How cool is this, right? This will be the first official basketball league run by the city of Flint in more than 15 years. Participation in the citywide basketball league is totally free, and open registration begins today. And there will be a press conference that will actually take place at 3:30 p.m. today at Cathedral of Faith. The address is 6031 DuPont, Flint, Michigan, 48505. To talk about this presser and this announcement and to dive deep into the details of how this whole thing came together, we are pleased to now welcome to WKAR's Current Sports, Sean Crowdy, Director of Community Recreation for the City of Flint. Sean, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. It's going to be an awesome day today.
I'm sure it is, Sean. So can you just talk to our listeners about how this whole thing came about? Because I think it's quite cool and quite shocking, to be honest, that this will be the first official basketball league run by the city in more than 15 years.
Well, listen, it was time. I got together with a couple of partners, such as Cathedral of Faith, it's Pastor Chris Martin, and also Eagle's Nest. It's a charter school on the Flint North Side. And the pastor or the principal is Pastor Flynn. Also, Flint Recast and Chris McLavish from CMB Basketball. So we all just got our minds together and heads together and figured out it was time to do something. We're all from the city of Flint. We want to provide something nice for the youth, nice, something safe, you know, healthy, and, you know, it's going to be more than basketball. It's going to be about, you know, being healthy, being competitive in an appropriate manner, and things of that nature. We're just looking forward to a good 10-week program.
Sean, why did you feel this was a need? You know, you said it was about time to do something. Why did you feel that way?
Well, just like you stated on my introduction, kids are doing too much video game playing. They're not out and about like we used to when I was a kid. I'm 45 years old. I came out of Flint schools in 1990. And we were always outside. And I'm used to different city leagues. You go all across the city and play different kids and, you know, get your skills, hone your skills, and then learn, you know, learn new skills. So we're trying to bring that back.
And, Sean, why do you think, you know, you look at the city of Flint, and, of course, the city of Flint has made national headlines in recent times, of course, for the Flint water crisis and, you know, just the economics have been well-documented over time as well. How do you think this will help the city? And what ways particularly are you guys honing in and which you hope this will add just some positive vibes to a much needed state of Michigan?
Well, more things to do for our youth is, you know, things for kids and their families to come out that's going to be positive. It's going to be some excitement. Kids' self-esteem could be built off of, you know, knowing they got something to do on the weekends. And also, Flint is a resilient city. We've been through tough times forever, and this is nothing new. This basketball program is going to be another way to showcase how strong we are in moving forward with the, you know, the water crisis and other issues that we have in the city.
In what way, Sean, do you think this league, this basketball league, is going to be different from others that we see?
Well, first of all, the city hasn't had one in over 15 years. And also with the help of Recast, their goal is pretty much supporting our community with the resilience piece. So we're going to try to have, like, some speakers at halftime of various games talk about, you know, healthy living, life choices, healthy eating. So we're going to try to incorporate some educational pieces in this league as well.
Now, when it comes to how the league is structured, I mean, how many teams are we talking? What age groups are we targeting? That kind of thing.
So we're going to have four divisions. It's going to be third and fourth grade division, fifth grade division, sixth grade division. That'll be housed at Eagle's Nest. And then we'll have our high school division at Cathedral of Faith. It'll be a 10-week program. So January 6th will start. It'll last till March 10th. So it'll be 8 weeks of regular season play and 2 weeks of playoffs. And the games are run on Saturdays from like 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Wow. That is fantastic stuff. Now, how many games are we talking throughout a season?
So each team is guaranteed like 8 games.
That is fantastic. And again, you know, what also strikes me is that, you know, participation is totally free. How did you guys pull that off?
hey, community members, the, you know, partnership that were created. And this is, and that's another thing, too, that's going to make it a positive. You cannot find a basketball league or any league, for that matter, that's free of charge.
Right. Exactly. Now, I know also at this press conference at 3:30 p.m., Mayor Karen Weaver and also numerous Flint City officials and community leaders will be in attendance. But just harping on the involvement of Flint Mayor Weaver, what has her involvement been like in this process?
Oh, awesome. She's the number one cheerleader program. Anything to do with moving Flint forward, especially dealing with our youth and positive things for our youth, you know, she's involved, you know, full head of steam. She's very supportive. She's awesome.
This is a great thing, and, you know, I really hope that, you know, we possibly see a trickle-down effect to an idea like this, especially to my city. I'm from the west side of Detroit, Sean, and I think we need more leagues like this, and not even just basketball, and other sports as well. I think it's so cool that you guys have organized this, and I have no doubt that it's going to be a success. And I'm also curious to ask you this question, Sean. I mean, there have been so many great athletes that have come from the city of Flint. I'm curious, you know, when it comes to the rich history of professional athletes from that area of this state, do you plan on getting them involved in any way, shape, or form?
Most likely, because they could, it's a possibility they could come to one of those Saturdays and be one of our guest speakers.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any names that come to mind?
Well, I am a member of Morris Pearson Jr. Foundation. So I would be on him real quick.
I'm sure. And I know.
I'm a board member, so, yeah, we'd definitely be getting a hold of him.
Right, for sure. And, you know, I know Mopi quite well. We actually we hosted the Emmys, the Michigan Emmys. I believe it was 2 years ago now, and Mo Pete is a fantastic guy, and I'm sure maybe my team, Cleves, and you know, maybe some of the Flintstones will come back for that as well. The other Flintstones, I should say, will come back for that as well, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm born and raised here, so I know all of them quite well. So
that is great stuff.
It's going to be exciting in 10 weeks. It's a lot of hype going on because, you know, Flint is still the mecca of basketball in the state of Michigan, in my opinion.
I hear you. I know some folks from Detroit that would argue, and we go back and forth. But hey, you cannot argue with the amount of athletes you guys have churned out over the years. It is truly quite remarkable, Sean. So again, for our listeners out there, if you want to attend the press conference will be taking place later on this afternoon, not too far from now, 3:30 p.m. at Cathedral of Faith. The address is again 6031 DuPont, out in Flint, Michigan, 48505. And Sean, I'm pretty sure is going to be quite the scene there out in Flint. But also, you know, final question for you. You know, you talk about, you mentioned the resiliency of your city in light of the unfortunate Flint water crisis. What are things like now? What is the dynamic and health of the city in light of the Flint water crisis? Are we close to, you know, having full recuperation now for you guys, or how far are we from that goal?
Yeah, we are close, but you know, we're close, but yet so far we still have a lot of things to do, and we got a lot of things going on in the city to repair the pipes and make sure the water is real safe for our citizens to drink. So we're moving forward. It's a slow process, and our again, we're resilient. So our community and the remnants here are being patient. It's nothing that can happen overnight. Unfortunately, somewhat the crisis kind of happened overnight, but dealing with it and resolving it is going to take some time.
And in speaking of the Flint water crisis, have you seen the city sort of band together? And if so, in what way, Sean?
Oh, well, a lot of people are banding together. People are helping others as far as, like, informational issues, like as far as, like, the filters and, you know, the water bottle situation. So Flint folks always been tough, always look forward to help others and come together as a family, especially in times of need. So
right,
you see it all the time in our city.
Definitely. And I'm sure this has had a direct effect when it comes to sports, especially youth sports in the area, right? I mean, they can't just go to the water fountain, right? They need those water bottles, you know, during times of activity, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We've been getting donations from various companies, Walmart, Myers. I mean, there's too many to name, and also people from outside the state. I mean, it's been awesome how people have been coming to Flint to our rescue, so to speak.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Well, I tell you what, thoughts and prayers are with you all out in Flint. I'm excited to see this league come together again. later on this afternoon, the press conference to really dive into more detail concerning the first official basketball league run by the city of Flint in more than 15 years. Again, that presser happening at 3:30 p.m. later on today. Sean Crowdy, Director of Community Recreation for the city of Flint. Sean, it was a pleasure having you on, my man.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate you, Al.
All right, you got it. My man, Sean. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we have less than 10 minutes left in the hour. We will put a bow on today's current sports by breaking down the crazy scenarios that will possibly put your Detroit Lions into the playoff dance. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. If you're just now joining us, what have you been doing throughout the entire hour? What's wrong with you? Come on now. You know Current Sports starts at 1 p.m. each and every weekday here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. But hey, there's still hope because you guys know after each and every episode when we sign off at 2 p.m., we post that day's episode via WKAR.org. You can listen to the podcast version of each and every Current Sports radio show. We usually post it about an hour after it airs around 3 p.m. and just go to WKAR.org where you can listen to that day's show or any show in the history of WKAR's Current Sports. I also want to give a big shout out to three of our dear listeners. Those being Chris, Steve, as well as Ben. Those three, I mean, they tune in faithfully via Facebook.com/currentsports each and every day. I mean, those of you who are watching via live stream, all you got to do is look at the comments, and you'll see comments from Ben, Chris, and Steve. I kid you not, just about every single day. And it's pretty cool because I want to give them a shout out right now because I'm just now seeing on my Facebook page that all three of them took a picture at the game, at the Michigan State and Houston Baptist men's basketball game last night, and they gave me a shout-out saying, hey, Al, all we're missing is you. So look at that. Ian, we're you know, Current Sports bringing our listeners together. Very cool stuff, right? That's what we aim to do, right?
Yeah, man, that's the whole goal of the show, trying to bring people together.
That's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. So shout-out to those three. All right, with just about 5 minutes left here, on the air, I do want to talk about the Detroit Lions because right now the playoff hopes for you Lions fans are quickly fading away. But there's still a few scenarios that could play out that will put the Lions in the playoffs. Now, for those who tuned in at the beginning of the hour, you guys know that statistically, to put a percentage on it, according to 538.com, they've done the math, and in light of the Atlanta Falcons win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last night on Monday Night Football, the Lions' percentage chance of making the playoffs, making the big dance in a wild card position, is now down to 14%. To make the postseason, the Lions, again, they have to win their remaining games. That's going to be against the Bengals and the Packers. And, you know, here are a few ways this could get done that will put the Lions, you know, into the dance. They could pass the Falcons if, again, the Lions win out and the Falcons lose out. Pretty simple. Atlanta's remaining schedule includes a road game against the New Orleans Saints before returning home to face the Carolina Panthers. So that's probably the most realistic path forward because, you know, that's not a favorable schedule for the Falcons because both the Saints and the Panthers are playing pretty good football right now. Also, the Lions went out, the Panthers lose out, plus either the Cowboys, so yeah, my Cowboys, or the Seahawks went out. Now, Detroit lost to Carolina in week 5, so it would be a two-way tiebreaker no matter what. That's why Dallas or Seattle must win out as well, creating a three-way scenario. Then it goes to the conference record, which Detroit would win. I know that was a lot. Your brain probably just exploded trying to put all that in perspective. But again, if the Lions win out and the Panthers lose out, plus either the Cowboys or the Seahawks win out. All right, so that's another possible scenario. Also, the Lions can make the playoffs if they win out and the Saints lose out, plus either the Cowboys or the Seahawks win out. Same deal. Detroit lost to New Orleans, so it would lose a head-to-head tiebreaker. It needs a three-way tie with Dallas or Seattle to force the tiebreaker to conference record. Ian, are you still with me there? Or you probably just lost me? That's a lot, isn't it?
I'm doing my best, man. I'm doing my best to follow you.
So with that being said, do you think the Detroit Lions will make the playoffs? Because I don't see it happening. I got to be real with you. The Lions could finish out the year here in the final 2 weeks. They could realistically, they could win out and then, you know, have a really solid shot at making the playoffs. But they need so many other things to happen here. Atlanta does have a tough 2 weeks left. I just see it. If anything, I see Atlanta splitting those final two games against the Saints and the Panthers.
To me, it doesn't really matter what other teams are going to do over these next couple weeks as an analyst and as a fan. As an analyst, I give the Lions a slight chance at making the playoffs, but as a fan, I know what to expect. The Lions are going to lose in some disappointing fashion either this week with the Bengals or next week with the Packers, and then we'll be heartbroken as usual and look forward to the offseason.
So you're not holding your breath on the Lions finishing this thing out unblemished in the final 2 weeks. I feel the same way.
Yeah, I'm breathing easy today, Al.
I wouldn't be surprised if they lost to the Bengals this week, and to be real with you. All right. Well, great show. I want to give a big shout-out to all of our listeners out there. Of course, our guest for today's Current Sports as well, Sean Crowdy, Director of Community Recreation for the City of Flint. Again, the first official basketball league coming to the City of Flint in more than 15 years. Very cool stuff there. Shout out to Ian Hawley, the man behind the glass. We'll be back at it same time, same place, tomorrow, live here on WKAR's Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. Be easy, people.